goodly number out tonight with your Bibles ready to study. And if you'll be turning to the Gospel of Luke and the 5th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study. And if you're visiting with this church family, we're grateful that you're with us tonight. I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. We have no intention of belittling anything you might believe and yet are obligated to preach the truth of God. If you find something taught that is not in harmony with Scripture, I stand to be corrected. If you'll point it out, I'll be glad to make the proper correction. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Butler has suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled. And upon your confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we'll immerse you into Christ for the remission of sins. In the book of Luke and the 5th chapter, I want to begin reading with you at verse 3 and read through verse 8. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." If I asked you if there was one person in this world you could talk to, who would that person be? Some young man interested in football may say, "Well, I'd like to talk to a professional football player. Oh, I'd like to talk to one of my favorite players in days gone by and just talk to him about football." Someone interested in politics may want to talk to somebody in Washington, D.C., maybe the senator or president or someone who is high in power in political realm. And someone who may be interested in music, they may want to talk to someone on the Grand Ole Opry. I don't know who you might want to talk to, but in our study, I want us to look at 4 people from the book of Luke. And I want you to take note that they go to the right place, the right person, and they do the right thing. I want us to look at 4 people at the feet of Jesus. The first person I want us to identify is the one we just read, Simon Peter. And notice at this time that Jesus was such a wonderful preacher that multitudes followed him to the seashore to hear him preach another lesson. And there were so many people there, Jesus borrowed a boat and went out in the water and preached to the crowd. And I've often wondered what he preached that day. But one thing I'm certain of, there was a great multitude there to listen. Then Jesus instructs Peter to go out into the deep water and let down his net. Now Peter may have questioned why this carpenter from Nazareth would tell him to do such. What did this carpenter know about fishing? But look at what Peter said in verse 5. He said, "We've caught nothing after toiling all night, but at your word I will let down the net." And then the Bible says they had such a great catch, they had to ask others to come out with their boat to help them. And those boats begin to sink. Can you imagine the catch of fish at that time that looked astonishing to Peter? Peter, when he saw the catch of fish, he saw the boats begin to sink, goes back to the shore, and notice what this man says. He falls at the feet of Jesus and says, "I am a sinful man." Peter saw himself when he saw Jesus. He saw the Savior, and in the mirror of seeing the Savior, he saw himself as a sinful man. Notice he didn't compare himself to anyone else. He didn't point at James and John and say, "They're sinful." He said, "I am a sinful man." But notice he went to the right place to make that confession. He fell at the feet of Jesus. I would that we could get in our hearts, that's the right place for the disciples of the Lord to be, at the feet of Jesus. But then if you take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Luke and the 7th chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke and the 7th chapter, you'll find that there is a man identified as Simon, who was a Pharisee, beginning at verse 36. And he had invited Jesus into his home for a meal. And you'll remember that Jesus is eating with this Pharisee when a woman came in. And this woman had a checkered past. But notice what this woman does in verse 37. Behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Notice this woman came and anointed the feet of Jesus and wipes his feet with her hair. And what kind of woman was she known to be? The Bible says in verse 37 plainly, she was known in the city to be a woman that was a sinner. And Simon the Pharisee quickly points that out. He says in verse 39, he speaks within himself and says, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. He's thinking that within himself. And Jesus said, Simon, I have something to say to you. He said, say on. And notice that Jesus gives a parable of the man who owed 500 denarii and the other owed 50. And he said, both debts are forgiven. Who loved more? And he said, the one who's had the greater debt. And Jesus said, rightfully so. And he said, look at this woman. Look at what she's done. This woman has come in and she gave me what you did not give me. I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet. That was the custom of the day. Ever there they went, there was dust on their feet. They wore sandals. Even the servant, or if you couldn't afford a servant, the owner of the house would wash the feet of the guest. And no one washed Jesus' feet. He said, but she came in and washed my feet with her tears. You gave me no kiss, which was a customary greeting at that day. Just kind of like we think about the French, how they kiss when they greet. But notice he said here, he said, you've not, this woman, she did not, has not ceased to kiss my feet since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with oil. That was a custom of the day. And Simon was showing no hospitality. He had Jesus into his home, but he didn't show him love and compassion. He didn't show him as an honored guest. But this woman, who was a sinner, came in and she shows honor to Jesus. And I want you to think about, she didn't look it up and say, look at the Pharisee sins or look at the hypocrites. She just said, I'm a sinner. And like Peter, she went to the right place, the feet of Jesus. But now then, let's look at a third individual in the book of Luke and the 8th chapter. And this time, look down at verse 41. And when we've been making our study in the Gospel of Mark on Sunday morning, we looked at this man not too long ago, a man identified as Jairus, who was the ruler of the synagogue. And you'll remember that he fell down in verse 41 at the feet of Jesus and begged him to come to his house because his only daughter, who was 12 years of age, was dying. Have you ever thought about Jairus? Here is a man who has authority over others. Here is a man who has a position of power, and yet he falls at the feet of Jesus. He came begging Christ to come to his house because his only daughter of 12 years of age was dying. Have you ever noticed he wasn't too proud to beg? He came and fell at the right place, at the feet of Jesus, and he came to the one who had the power to raise the dead. Now, have you looked at those three people? Have you thought about Peter who fell at the feet of Jesus? Have you thought about the Jairus who fell at the feet of Jesus? Have you thought about the woman in Luke 7 who fell at the feet of Jesus? But let's look at one more. Turn in your Bible to the book of Luke in the 10th chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke in the 10th chapter, look, if you will, beginning at verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat, watch it, at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, that which will not be taken from her. Now, Martha had invited Jesus and his disciples to her house for a meal. She's busy preparing the meal and noticed Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to his words. And Martha complains, "Do you not care? She's left me to do all the work." I wonder why she didn't tell Mary to help her. Instead, she tells Jesus. It's like she's trying to embarrass her. And Mary was at the right place. She was at the feet of Jesus. And that's exactly what Jesus tells Martha. She has chosen. Underscore that word chosen. It's free will choice. She chose to put herself at the feet of Jesus. And she chose to hear his instructions. And she was at the right place. Martha, with all of her care, Jesus loved her. But he says, Mary has chosen that which is good, and that will not be taken from her. I want to take that. I want to make application in the lesson here. You know, every single one of us, to be at the right place, needs to be at the feet of Jesus. If we sit at the feet of Jesus, we wouldn't be gossiping, running around, tearing down one another, but we would be there to get instruction. If we were at the feet of Jesus like Mary, we would learn what we need to do to make us better. But who needs to be at the feet of Jesus? Preachers need to be at the feet of Jesus. I'll tell you what, any preacher who's not at the feet of Jesus does not deserve the right to be in a pulpit. If I do not humble myself and put myself under the authority of Christ, then, my friend, I don't have a message to preach. Because anything I preach is man-made. Everything that Jesus teaches comes from the one who's the head of the church, and therefore I take his word and I proclaim his word. Elders need to be at the feet of Jesus. Every member needs to sit at the feet of Jesus. If we fell at the feet of Jesus, that keeps us humble. We wouldn't be haughty or self-righteous, strutting around like a peacock. What we would do is see what we need. In Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the vision and he saw up in the throne of God, what did he say? He saw himself, just like Peter. He said, "I am a man of unclean lips." He saw himself a sinner. Instead of condemning everyone else, he first fell at the feet of Jesus and saw his own sins. Now, a lot of times, we're good at pointing out other people's sins, but we fail to see our own. Oh, I'll tell you something. Michael Richardson has a hard enough time getting his own life right. And there are many times that it's easy to point out the sins of others when I need to stop and reflect on my own life. And notice here that we need to be at the feet of Jesus. The greatest place to be is at the feet of Jesus. If I could get you to sit at the feet of Jesus, I would have no trouble getting you to obey the gospel. You know, there's some people that tell me, "Preacher, I don't see any purpose in baptism. I don't see any sense in it going down into some silly water." Well, my friend, Jesus didn't tell you to see any sense in it. He told you to do it. In Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Do you have faith enough to do as Jesus said? How can one call him Lord and not do what he says? Someday, all of us will be brought to the feet of Jesus in the judgment. Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Every tongue will confess and every knee will bow." Everyone will fall at the feet of Jesus. He is the only one who knows you inside out. And one day you'll be at his feet in judgment. My question is, are you ready for that day? The only way you'll be ready for that day is if you spend your life here at the feet of Jesus. There's been times I've been driven to my knees because I had nowhere else to go, is an old quote. And isn't that true? When a loved one dies, when the world falls in, when trouble comes. But what better place to go than to the feet of Jesus and say, "Master, here am I. Help me in my time of need." If you're here and you're not a child of